Parshas Tzav. At the very outset of my remarks on Tzav, I would like to pose a question that my father, Zichron Livracha, asked many years ago. When one overviews both Parshas Vayikra and Parshas Tzav, it would seem that there's a fair amount of repetition. The Karbanos that I mentioned in Vayikra, more or less, I mentioned in Tzav. And those in Tzav, I mentioned in Vayikra. Why did the Torah feel constrained to divide these parshas into two? When in reality, whatever components are found in Tzav could have been embedded in the Karban, the same Karban, that's already articulated in Vayikra. So the overall sense that one has is that there's a dialectic at work here. These are two separate parshios with two separate charismatic messages, and one has to examine the psukim. We'll do so briefly, and then we'll focus on an element in Parshas Tzav. The term, the beginning of Vayikra, in Parshas Vayikra, you'll notice the language. Hashem calls to Moshe and tells him to speak to Klal Yisrael, and the language of the pasuk in the very beginning, pasuk Beis, Perek Aleph, Odom ki akrim mikem korban Hashem. Min ha-behima, min ha-bakar, min ha-tzon, takrivus korbanchem. The focus is on the individual, on the gavra, who's bringing the korban. And the Torah Keseder now itemizes the different korbanos. It begins with korban ola that is from bakar, ola that's from tzon, ola that's from of, that's essentially in Perek Aleph. But one of the themes that's clearly repeated many times is korbano, namely the offering of the gavra. He's mechuyah to bring a korban ola, and look at the language that's found korbano countless times. With reference to the ola, it's found a bit later in pasuk yud, the imanatzon korbano, his korban, minak sabim emin ha'izim la'ola. And the Torah continues on that vein in pasuk yudalid, and undoubtedly the Kohen is also mentioned here, but I would say, parenthetically, the Kohen's role in Vayikra is a secondary one. And in Perek Beis of Vayikra as well, the Torah here describes the Gabra, the Nefesh, ki sakrim korban minchal Hashem. And the korban consists of soles, of fine flour, and then the language of korbano. And the Torah then describes different types of mincha. But again, the focus is your karban, or the karban that's brought by the gabra, that's obligated to bring a mincha. That's the, more or less, the gist of Perek Beis and Vayikra. Perek Gimel, we turn to Shlomim. Im zevach Shlomim karbano. His karban is a karban Shlomim. And again, we're talking about the different elements, the different components of karbano, of his karban, of the gabra that's obligated to bring a shlamim. Obviously, the kohanim are also involved. But again, their role is the tafel. The ikar, the focus, is the gabra bringing the karban. And similarly, in the third parak, in pasuk vav, v'yimen atzon karbano, l'zevach shlamim l'ashem, and in pasuk yudbeis, yim eiz karbano. So the focus is on the one who's bringing the karban. In Perek Dalet, again, we have a pretty lengthy list of different types of chatoim, nefesh kisechata, pasuk gimel, kohen hamashiach yechta, different types of chatoim committed by different types of individual, sanhedrin, kol adas Yisrael yishku, and pasuk yud gimel, and the obligation to bring a karban as an expiation, as a kapara, for that chet. Pasuk Chabez, Asher Nasi Yechta. If a Nasi incurs guilt, commits a chet, and again, continuing in Pasuk Chavzayim, V'yem Nefesh Achaz Techato B'shgogam Yam Ha'aretz, and again, the type of carbon that's going to be brought, Perakeya Vayikra, V'nefesh Kisechta, And here we have again a list of different types of karbanos that are going to be brought by the individual who commits a chet and the obligations that devolve upon him. But again, even though Kohanim I mentioned, but their role is, as I indicated earlier, a secondary role, not the primary thrust of Parshas Vayikra. And at the end of the Parsha as well, we have in Parakeh, in Pasuk, Yudalid, Yudtesvav, Nefesh Kisim Omal, V'chotah B'shkogah M'kotchei Hashem. And then we have the different Hashamos that the Torah describes at some length. And more or less, that's how the Parsha ends. So the focus here is the Gadra, who's bringing the Karban. Undoubtedly, there's a Kohen who plays a role, but his role, as I said, is of a secondary nature, not the focus of the Parsha. When one looks at Parsha Tzav, one is a totally different complexion, totally different picture. Here the focus is, very beginning of the Parsha, Beregvav, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Tzav is Aram is Bano Lemor. Here the focus is going to be on Aaron HaKohen and his children doing the Avod and the Beis HaMikdash. And here the language is no longer Karbano, which of course refers to the Gadra, but rather the language is Zos Torah Sa'ola. And this language of Torah Sa'ola, Torah Samincha, which is utilized quite frequently, even in the context of the Chatos, Zos Torah Sa'chatos, in Perek Zayin, Zos Torah Sa'osham. And the focus is on the role of the Kohanim, their involvement with each of these Karbanos, Pasuk, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, Kachatos Ka'osham, Torah Chaslaim, HaKohen HaShe'echat Bebo, Lo Yiyem. And here the focus is on HaKohen HaMakriv. That is the entire centerpiece of Parshas Tzav, is the focus on the Kohanim. And again, with reference to the Shlomim, Pasuk Yedalot, Zos Torah Zevach HaShlomim, Asher Yakriv Hashem, the Kohen is going to be the one involved in the Hakrava, and many halachas that relate to each of these Karbanos. And then the Torah goes on, again, constantly speaks of the one who's being Makriv, Zevach Shlomim Hashem, and again, the different components, and at the end of that, Perek Zayin, Zos HaTorah, La'ola, La'mincha, V'la'chatzav, La'oshav, La'miluim, V'la'zevach HaShlomim, and then, of course, we have the Parsha Miluim, which Rashi points out is also noted in Tetzaveh, and here in the, I saw in the Sefer, Shai Lo'avi, that in Parsha Tzav, he notes the distinction between the description of the Miluim in Parsha Tetzaveh, and the Miluim here that's found in Parshas Tzav. But just to sum up, that as I indicated, the entire focus of Parshas Tzav is of a completely different nature. Namely, the focus is on Aaron HaKohen and his children and the obligation to do the Avodah. Just another distinction which also will bear this thesis out. Beginning of Vayikra, namely Parshas Vayikra, each person wants to be able to achieve ritzui, v'nirtza lo l'chaper alav. That element of ritzui is critical for the person, of course, who's bringing the karban, and we want him to be able to, once again, regain favor in the eyes of Hashem. But the focus here is on the chet, on the chatoyim, and the karbanos that the gaber has to bring in order to somehow expiate, to find kapara for all those chatoim. My father noted that there are many, many vavs found in Parshas Vayikra. I think from what I understand, probably out of the total number of psukim that are found in Parshas Vayikra, and the number of psukim you could always find mentioned at the end of the Parsha, this is something that Chazal were very medactic about. In terms of the psukim, there are approximately 111 psukim in the Parsha. Probably, I suspect, 90 begin with the Vav. And my father was absolutely flabbergasted by the repetition of the Vav HaChibur. So many Vavim, which are mechaber, one pasuk to the next. And my father asked me, what's the purpose of that? And I answered many, many decades ago that that's exactly the nature of Chet. The focus of the Parsha Vayikra is Chet, the Gadra being, unfortunately, rooted in Chet, immersed in chet, submerged in chet, drowning in chet, and each vav leads to a further hidardarut, a further denouement, a further diminution of the personality of the gabra, and those are the vavim hamechabrim rob sukim in Parshas Vayikra. That's not the case in Parshas Tzav, because here, even though there are a fair number of vavim in Parshas Tzav as well, but the distinction, as I noted a few moments ago, Tzav, we have, as I mentioned, 96 psukim, a fair number of vavs, but not the same number as you find in Tzav, because here the focus is not so much on the chet, but on the role of the kohanim in the Avodas Hashem of the Beis Hamikdash. So, if you will, Parshas Vayikra relates to the gavra, hachote, and Parshas Tzav deals with the chetz of the avodah performed by the kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash. But I would like to just focus on, for a few moments, is one specific karbon, which is a very well-known karbon, and that's the karbon todah. Karbon todah that's found dafka in Parshas Tzav. And what's fascinating about the karbon todah, there's a language there that I've noted years ago that I found to be strikingly unique and rather distinctive. Todah, of course, is subsumed under the category of shlomim. And in general, we know that karbon shlomim is eaten for 2 days and a night. However, the karbon todah has a limitation. Again, well known, can only be eaten 1 day and a night. So the karbon todah, which also has 40 lechamim, 40 breads, 4 of them are eaten by the kohanim, 36 are eaten by others, Klal Yisrael. So obviously, there's a problem. How are we able to somehow consume all the appurtenances of the karbon todah, both the lechamim and the karbon itself, in such a short period of time? Normally, a shlomim is given 2 days and a night, and here we are limiting the achil karbon todah. So the Netziv, in probably one of the most famous, absolutely brilliant comments on the karbon todah, notes the following. I pointed out a number of times that the Netziv is famously known for, once he lays down a foundational yesod, he then re-articulates it many, many times in all of his svarim, in order to accentuate this very fundamental, basic concept. And the Netziv does this both in HaMikdavar, what I'm about to mention, and also mention his parish on the Shiltis, and many of his other svarim. Namely, that the Karbon Todah, as Rashi already commented, and Rashi comments on Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Beis. And here's where I wanted to note a very fascinating expression the Torah uses. We know the more or less the background of all karbanos. Chazal, many Gemaras describe it, but very rarely do we see in the text of the Chumash what the rationale, what the reason for the karban is, why the karban is brought, and the expression that's found vis-a-vis karban todah, I think, is unique and distinctive. Here the Torah says in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Beis, Imal Todah Yakrivenu. What's the basis for the bringing of the karbon todah? And the answer is the obligation to say shelach v'odah to Hashem Yisbarach, to thank Hashem, to show gratitude, to be grateful, to be makir tov, which of course is the yisod of kol ha'tar kula, hakar satev. And the Torah itself expresses it. Why are we being makir this karbon? V'hikriv al zevach ha'todah. Why? The answer is imal todah yakrivenu, as Rashi comments. Imal dvar hoda al neshenaselo. Rashi cites the Gemara in Brachos and Nun Dalid, Arba tzrichim lahodos, and the Psukim at Tehillim Kuv Zayin, namely the obligation in 4 situations of great peril. Yordi Ayam, someone who goes down and is in a ship, and the ship is buffeted by all kinds of gale winds and the like. Holchim Mibaryo, someone who's wandering in a desert, forlorn. Chabusha Beis Asirim, someone who's in prison in a situation of great difficulty. And God forbid, a Cholesh in a Serapi, someone who became very ill and thank God was healed. So all these have an obligation to say Hodah to Hashem. Yodul Hashem Chazdo, and if also the Adam. And Rashi comments that when a person takes upon himself to bring one of these shalmei toda, which requires lechem and is limited in terms of its eating period, namely yom v'layla, so the pasuk says v'hikriv al zevach hatoda, the obligation to bring all these lechamim, but the Torah clearly states what the underlying basis for this. Imel toda. Dafka, with this carbon, the Torah mentions it. Almost as if this carbon is probably so unique and so exemplary among all the other carbonos that the Torah felt the need to underscore and to explain what the basis of the carbon is. So, Kayadua, the Nitziv explains, Thanksgiving, by definition, requires pirsum, requires publicity. And we have a problem here. We have a lot of food, has to be consumed in a short period of time. How do I go about doing that? And the answer is, I invite as many people as I can to participate in this achil of the carbon toda, and essentially a massive seuda, a massive party is going to be thrown. I invite everyone. Tell me, eat all the food. So here, the Torah is saying something incredibly striking. Namely, there's a din with reference to the carbon toda. I have to be mefaris in the nes. Bisapru, Torah says, and the pasuk says in Tehillim, we have to tell Barina with great simcha, with great joy, the haidah that we owe to Hashem is barach, for saving us from a situation of great peril, from delivering us for the nest that occurred. And the Nativ embeds this idea in the Psukim Tehillim. Psukim Tehillim, Kuf Tezayin, we say in the Hallel, Yud Zayin, Yud Ches, Yud Tes. L'cho esbach zevach toda, we say to Hashem is barach, I'm going to offer to you a carbon toda. I'm calling out the name of Hashem. I'm taking a vow to Hashem. Opposite the entire tzibur, the entire congregation of Klal Yisrael. Where? The chatzos beis Hashem, and the courtyard of that beis Hashem. B'sochechi Yerushalayim haluka. And as I'm meeting in the midst of Yerushalayim HaKodesh, everyone should know about the nest that occurred. The nest now gets a incredible degree of piercing, of publicity, of fanfare, and obviously everyone recognizes the Yad Hashem that's involved. The Nativ also notes elsewhere, there's another shlomim that's only eaten for one night, and that's the Korban Pesach. Here also, Korban Pesach HaYadua, the Torah in Parshas Bo describes a din of minui in the Gabra, inviting others to participate in the Korban Pesach, and it's also a thanksgiving. We're thanking Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim was also Nisei Nisim, one miracle after the next that the Ribbono Shel Olam performed for Klal Yisrael. No aspect of the Korban is allowed to be left over. We want to finish that night, and we have to invite many people to eat the Korban Pesach together and spread the word of the Chasdei Hashem that are never-ending, unparalleled. So, the idea which is also found embedded in Purim, the whole story of Purim, is also an obligation. The Sudas Purim is a pirsum of the Nisim Hashem Yisbarach did for us in that harrowing period of time that we went through in the context of Haman HaRasha and Ahasuerus. This concept of saying Hodor to Hashem, being Makir Tov, is so fundamental, so basic. It's a foundational element of our Hashkafa. When Leah had a fourth child, she calls him Yehuda. Hapam, Oydeas Hashem. Let me say Hodor to Hashem Yisbarach from the wellsprings of my heart. In the modim of the Shmoneh Esrei that we say several times a day, Modim anachnu lach. And in the Modim of the Rabbanan, al shanachnu modim lach. We thank Hashem for the ability to thank Hashem. This yisod of constantly thanking Hashem for his largesse, for his benefaction, for the outpouring of chesed that he does for us on an ongoing basis, is yisodi hadas. Fundamental elements of our emunah, of our hashkafa, this yisod of hakaras hatov. Many, many years ago, I was zeicha once in my lifetime to meet Rav Nochem Zev Dessler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the beloved Ben Yochin of Rav Eliezer Dessler, the Mashkiach in Ponovich, and in Gateshead, the author of the Michtam Eliyahu. When Rav Nochem Zev Dessler got married in Cleveland, his father was not at the Chasana, and on the day of the Simcha, the Goyin, Rav Dessler, Rav Eliyahu Dessler, the Michtam Eliyahu, who was such a Bal Regesh, in order to be connected to the Simcha, he sent a photo of himself and a card, along with a request that at the Chasana, the young couple should read the message of brachas that he inscribed, look at the picture, and they should be together, as it were, celebrating from afar. And Rav Nochem Zev Dessler told over the following story. One day he was playing outside his house. When he returned indoors, he said this over in Cleveland, where he was the menahel of the day school in Cleveland. I think the miyasi of the Beit, if I'm not mistaken. And he told a story that occurred in his parents' home 80 years when he was a young boy. It's a gem. It shows you the chinuch that was pervasive in the house of Rav Dessler. He's playing outside, Nochem Zev. He returns indoors. He's surprised to see the dining table as though it were Shabbos. The white tablecloth is spread out. The Shabbos cutlery, all the dishes were set. And he asks his parents, why does his mother prepare the Shabbos like a meal in the middle of the week? And the answer made an impression on him for the rest of his life. His mother said their family had a distant relationship, a relative, namely the Gadol Hador, HaGoyin Rabbi Zalman Meltzer Zatzal, the author of the Ibn Ezel, and he edited the Chiddush Rabban on Shas. And so his mother told him, today a copy of the Sefer arrived in Kelm, and for our family today is a Yom Tiv, we're going to eat a Yom Tiv Gesuda. And this is how Rav Nochem Zev Dessler was mechunach. And years later, Rav Dessler inscribed a copy of that Chiddush Ramban and gave it to his son, Nochem Zev, and it remained one of his most prized possessions. But Hakaras HaTov, in the Hidah that comes with it, there's another unbelievable story. Because of the war, the Michtam Eliyahu was not able to see his son until 1947. And when he finally met, he asked his son, Nochem Zev, who helped you during the years that you were alone? You were in the United States, and I was abroad. And he was separated from his father for 7 years because he traveled across Russia through Siberia to Japan and by boat to San Francisco. And he arrived at Simchas Torah in 1940, eventually settling in Cleveland, Ohio, became the Miyase of the Cleveland Hebrew Academy, a model for all day schools in America. So the father, Rav Dessler, wasn't able to see his son until 1947. When he finally met, he asked Nochem Zev, who helped you during the years you were alone? His son said, there was a great gon, Rav Lezer Silva Zatzal, the Rav in Cincinnati. So Rav Dessler said, we have to thank him for all of his largesse, what he did. So Rav Nochem Zev assumed his father would call him on the phone. Rav Dessler said, no. Hakar Satov and saying Hodo requires us to travel there personally. So they traveled from Cleveland to Cincinnati through the night. In those years, for 9.5 hours, they came early in the morning. They waited outside the door of Rav Lezer Silva till he emerged. They followed him to shul. He invited his guests for breakfast. Rav Lezer Silva assumed they came to ask him for help. He asked, what do we need? What are your tzrochim? Tell me, I'll help you.
Rav Dessler said, no, I only came to thank you for helping my son. And that's what Kelm, where Rav Dessler came from, was all about. And Rav Lezer Silva commented, he saw the unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh that the Michzor Eliyahu expended in order to thank him, traveling a whole day. This is the Musa Derech of the Kelm Talmud Torah. This is the Derech of Hakara Satay, which the Chavis Havavos writes, is the most fundamental of all Midas. The obligation to say Hoidah to Hashem Yisbarach, Al Kol Tzad Mishal, on every step. Al Kol Neshima Neshima, for every breath that we take. Hoidah! V'ayrapam Hoidah! V'ayrapam Hoidah! That reflects the profound Hakara Satov that every single Jew should have, literally, every second, every moment of his life, towards anyone who provided him with some chesed, and obviously kal v'chomer, ben menosha kal v'chomer to Hashem Yisbarach. So here we have in the Parsha of Tzav, embedded in Tzav, is the pasuk im al teida yakrivenu, namely, the obligation to say sherach v'odah to Hashem Yisbarach, and the language of im al teida, the Torah has spelled it out very clearly, an extraordinary way. Halavai, we should cultivate this yesod, constantly being makir tov, constantly saying hodah to Hashem Yisbarach, to parents, to grandparents, to great-grandparents, to our spouse, to our children, to our rabbeim, to Klal Yisrael. If we nurture and discipline ourselves to that yesod, there's no question. The Ribbono Shel Olam will see, but midah shel demeidin meidin dinai, Ribbono Shel Olam will bring about halvai biyameinu anu, yeshuos v'hatzolos nisim v'niflois v'niske. Now, since we are now before the Yom Tov of Pesach, we'll be zeicher, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed nisim in the days of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so too, Bismanenu Anu, the revelation was so as Niflos, end this Milchama with Nitzachon, rid ourselves of our enemies, and Bizecha, Benecham and Azvachim and Apsochim, in Yushalayim and Akedesh, Alkir Mizbachacha the Ratzain, and Bizecha to saying the Bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Goal Yisrael, Bimlo Muvan Amila, Amen, Ken Yiratzah.